Welcome to In Focus. My name is Bob Perreault. Another great edition for you here today. We are joined by, from Rideau Bridge to Canada, Wendy Quarry. Wendy, thank you so much for being here. We've had your group on before. Looking forward to this update, but thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
And also,
it's a pleasure.
And also joining us, Katera Saidi, who we're going to hear her story as well, also involved with Rideau Bridge to Canada, and her family is on the verge of coming to our listening area, which is very exciting. For anybody who may not remember, tell us what Rideau Bridge to Canada does, Wendy.
Well, it started when Canada was offering asylum to many Syrian refugees, and they asked private sponsorship groups to get together to sponsor various families. So Audrey Bridge was the sort of person that got it all started in Merrickville. We're a group of 5 or 10 people, and we raise money, went through something called a sponsorship agreement holder, which is an organization that manages the whole process, and applied for a Syrian family. And that family arrived five years ago. And they still live in Merrickville. About 2 years after that, we sponsored the brother of the wife of the family, and his family has now arrived in Merrickville as well. They've been here for about 1 year, 2 years.
Fantastic. It's we've seen this effort not only for Syrian refugees, but for many other nationalities. Right now, of course, there are people who are fleeing the war in Ukraine. Many local groups are involved in that as well. So it is something that I think our listeners are pretty familiar with. Now, you have got a great story here, Wendy, with Katera, and this goes back to some time when you were living in Kabul.
Yes, there's something magic about Afghanistan, isn't there, Katera? And back in the, you know, when the Soviets were occupying Afghanistan, my husband and I and family were living in Pakistan, and there were masses of Afghan refugees in Pakistan. And I kept thinking about the country, and I would go to the border sometimes and look at the mountains, and I was intrigued with Afghanistan. And then after 2001, I got a job in Kabul through a Dutch NGO, and my husband ended up getting a job with an American NGO, and we lived in Kabul for 2 years, from 2004 to 2006. I kept going back there to work, but there were lasting friendships that came from just those even short 2 years in Afghanistan. One day, my husband, who was working with an American-funded radio program, went to a place called Maimana, which is in Faryab province, the very north of the country, bordering Iran, right, Hadra?
Yes.
And there was a Canadian-funded radio program working out of that area. It was to encourage women to manage their own radio stations. And while Paul was there, I think he was bringing radios from his radio group that he was working with. He ran into a young woman called Leslie Knott. And Leslie was a Canadian in her 20s working on that program with none other than Katera Saidi, who I think was 16 at the time. So Paul and Leslie took a road trip somewhere, and Paul probably told her his life story. They became friends. Next time Leslie came to Kabul, she came and stayed with us, and that was maybe 2005. And Leslie and I a lot, have remained friends ever since. So in August of last year, when the Taliban just came marching into Kabul faster than anybody could have imagined, Leslie was in Vancouver, and she and I sat on the phone every day. She's talking about this young woman, Katera, worked with her on radio, Maimana, how Hatra's family had gone from Mazar to Kabul to be safe and were hiding in Kabul when the Taliban actually came into Kabul much faster than anyone had expected. And we were concerned and talking and trying to figure out what to do, how to help Hatra's family get out. That one afternoon, I was sitting talking to Audrey Bridge from Rideau Bridge to Canada, Graham Bonham Carter, and Wendy Hall. And we were talking about some of the remaining funds that we had from the second Syrian family. And because I just got off the phone with Leslie, I started talking about our conversation, explaining the situation of the Taliban coming in, talking about Afghanistan. They all knew that I had this interest in Afghanistan, talking about it. When Audrey, who really is the lifeblood of the Rideau Bridge to Canada, piped up and said, "Let's sponsor her." And I said, "What? A third family? Will Merrickville actually be able to manage fundraising for a third family?" She said, "Yes, yes, it will. We'll work with the Cayley Girls, which is a fundraising group in Merrickville. We'll do it ourselves and we'll raise the money for Hatra." Hatra meaning Hatra, her mother, her sister, her mother, Zarmina, her sister Sodaba, and her two kids, Tamkin and Adil. And that's how the process started.
Wow. It is like that connection is just incredible. Hatra, how long have you been in Canada now?
Thank you. This is exactly 2 weeks now. We arrived in Canada on 14th July and then Merrickville on 15th July.
That's amazing. So just 2 weeks. What do you think so far?
We feel so good here, actually. All the family, myself, kids, my mom and sister, were so happy. Really, we feel we are relieved of all the stress and tension. We feel really protected, supported, warmly welcomed and loved. So it's a so nice town, very good people helping, supporting and protecting us. So it is also at the same time out of imagination and it is out of expectation after all the trauma and crisis we went through during last about a year in Kabul. And we have been staying in Greece in the limbo for a couple of months. So although it is the second week completed here in Merrickville, we received lots of support and love from the community members, but still it is out of belief that we are safe, we are having a great chance to start our life with the new chapter of the life.
As much as you're comfortable in doing so, tell us a little bit about what it was like being holed up in Afghanistan when everything unfolded with the Taliban rolling in.
Well, it was the biggest shock we received in our life, actually. It was not only a big shock for us as an Afghan individual, as an Afghan family, but I think it was a big shock for the worldwide and all international communities as well. Because Afghanistan was supported for 20 years with all militaries, with humanitarian organizations, with international NGOs, in different parts of the improvements Afghanistan were having support from all different international countries and organizations, including America and all other committed countries to support Afghanistan. And there has been such a great improvements in Afghanistan overall in different aspects of the life. But suddenly, out of expectation and out of imagination, every individual of national and international person, people in Afghanistan has been doing their routine work. Suddenly, within 24 hours, all the provinces started collapsing one by one. And it was out of expectation, and no one was believing, out of belief, that that country with 34 millions of population, with a lot of international support, with presence of America and all other countries in Afghanistan, and the country will collapse in a way that was not expected. It was out of imagination, but unfortunately it happened. It happened, and suddenly, within 24 hours, Afghanistan and Afghan population, men and women, kids, everyone lost their 20 years of investment, their 20 years of hard working, everything lost within 24 hours. So it was biggest shock. People still in shock. It is still unbelievable. And the Afghan population, in whatever age they were, they lost everything they had in their life. And number of people, Afghans population, had been evacuated through different processes from different countries. But there are still millions of Afghans surviving, struggling with the worst situation of their life ever someone could imagine.
As a woman, it must have been, well, for anybody, but as a woman, it must have been absolutely terrifying to see this happening. Very scary.
It was so hard. It is still so hard to believe that what we went through. It was so scary because I was only with my two kids traveling from northern region to capital of Afghanistan to receive myself and my kid, my daughter's passport. When we arrived in the capital of Afghanistan, suddenly we knew in there that the province I left to capital is collapsed. And also it happened over the night. Capital of Afghanistan was also controlled by Taliban. It was so scary, so hard. My kids were crying and they were, it was a terrifying situation. They were, we didn't know what's happening there suddenly. And there was no defense fighting in the country. The whole country was one by one was taken over of over by Taliban for with a group of terrorists, which is internationally known that they are the most dangerous people, and they could harm anybody in the in Afghanistan, regardless of the gender, regardless of their background. So they have no role, no regulation. And my kids were crying and we didn't know. They were asking that, Mom, will they kill us? What's going to happen with us now? So it was so hard to explain. And we are still in that shock, actually.
How old are your kids?
I have 15 years old girl and 12 years old boy.
Well, and when you arrived here 2 weeks ago, you said we. Who came with you?
I have my mom, my sister, and both kids with me right now in Marrakech.
I hope our listeners have a sense of relief to hear that, that you and your kids have made it out. I'm very sorry for what you have had to go through. I'm very glad that you told that story. We are so comfortable where we are. And we need to hear from people like you in order to act. Now, Wendy, the job isn't done when it comes to Hathras family, but it's getting closer to being done as far as getting the rest of her family here.
Yes, I think kudos have to go to Leslie Knott, who was in England during those beginning days. Leslie has an amazing number of contacts, and who knows how, but she managed to get Hathra and her mother, sister, and two kids on the flight with Afghan women judges to Athens. When they got to Athens, I remember we stayed up all night waiting for that flight to land. But when they got to Athens, I remember Hathra saying they felt so relieved to be out of Afghanistan, but the mother could not rest because her brother and her brother's wife and two kids, her sister's husband and two kids, and various people were still left behind. So Audrey, the indefatigable Audrey Bridge, contacted people in Perth who had been bringing in Syrian families before, and the group called CAR in Perth agreed to sponsor the 10 other family members. And they've gone through the whole process now. The family members who got out to Islamabad, CAR from Perth and Rideau Bridge to Canada helped fund the escape to Islamabad. They've had their medicals and their biometrics, and we're hoping they're going to come soon.
This is a large, large endeavor. Like, I've been covering these things for, you know, since it started, like speaking with the CAR and so on. This is probably the largest family that I've heard of bringing over to live here. That's absolutely amazing. I mean, you talk about bringing your first Syrian refugees, and then a few years later, bringing his brother and his family and so on. But this is like, wow. It is an incredible effort. And as you've told me, you're on the verge of it being complete. That's just absolutely amazing that you could do it with this many people.
Well, I agree. I just think it's great that it all seemed to pull together. Although we're still having to raise money, we're still, you know, not to the end game yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Another person who I spoke to about Afghanistan was David Lavery. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but of course, known around Perth, very well known around Perth. He is one of the organizers of the Perth Polar Bear Plunge, but he lives in Afghanistan. And he spent those early days helping to get people out, getting literally hundreds of people out of Afghanistan. And that's what he was doing here. We were hearing it from his side, boots on the ground. To get your story, Hathara, is just amazing. And I thank you very much for sharing that. I really do. I have to ask you, and I don't mean to upset you, but is there any guilt once you're out? And you said that your mother could not sleep knowing that these other people were there. How do you feel about that, about getting out? It must be such a terror of emotions going from joy, relief, and then also worry about your other family members.
Yes, exactly. As I mentioned, we are going through a different stage of the life, which we could never, ever expect or imagine that this situation would come, because we had to leave the country in a situation while I had left my only brother and his family in country, and my sister and my kid's father. So it was not easy for none of us, and especially for my mom, because she had to decide leaving the country in the difficult situation, in the hardest moment of the life, and leaving kids in that country, which was not reliable, which was not, there was no protection, no security, no guarantee of the life. Any moment, any time, there could be some harm for the people back to the country. It was so hard to decide who to go, who to leave the country, and how to left the rest, because my niece and nephews, small kids, the day we were leaving the country, it was the most hardest day of our life, because we were separating from the family, from the loved ones, and we were leaving them in the country where totally covered by the terrorists. And that was so difficult time of the life. But unfortunately, we had only that option to go with it. Although I had canceled few of the evacuation flights while we were not able to come all along together. But that was not the choice, unfortunately, in the country that we have been living. That was the critical situation. We had to decide with the most possible options. So that was the only option that we could leave Afghanistan. And especially it was so hard for my mom to leave out the kids there. And while she was also suffering with some sort of diseases. And but unfortunately we had to do, and we have been going through different stage of the life, which none of them was easy during last 11 months or almost 1 year. And fortunately, as I mentioned, we are so lucky. We are in good hands that the team, I do want to really appreciate and sincerely thanks all the team members, our sponsor groups, both from Merrickville and Perth as well, that they were so kind, they were so caring in all the process. They didn't only take us out of the country, they also helped the rest of my family members to be rescued and taken out of the country. And they have been living in Islamabad during last 6 months. So that was so great for us. So we have been so lucky to have this great support of Canadian people.
That's great to hear that they're in a safe place and they're transitioning. Wendy, give us some good news here. Like, how close are they to being coming over to Canada?
Well, you know, Canadian immigration is hard to predict, and the the change in events because of the Ukrainian war has made it even more difficult. However, there is something called an Afghan resettlement program. And I think that there is some aspect of IRCC, the immigration, that is trying to fast forward things. And so the fact that we've heard from Hatra that the family has had their medicals and biometrics, and there are flights poised to come from Pakistan to Canada, so it could be any time. But there are, of course, all those other people that aren't part of this process that are still writing us, that I'm sure are still in touch with Hatra, that constantly write to Leslie and I and everybody else who ever worked in Afghanistan asking for help to get out. And, you know, it's a never-ending issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing that people need to remember, like the big headlines may fall out of the news cycle, but this is an ongoing issue. This isn't something that ended. People are still suffering. People are still struggling to get out of that country. Now, in order to make this happen, you need funding, and people have been incredibly generous in the past to your organization, to Rideau Bridge to Canada. But you know, you do need a little bit more. There's a couple of different ways that you can help make this happen. If you're listening right now and you'd like to help make a difference. Wendy, I'll get you to start by telling us how someone, if they just want to make a donation to the organization, what's the best way that they can do that?
Well, they could go on Facebook onto Rideau Bridge to Canada, and there will be a link to send money to the Ottawa Community Foundation. It's a tax, it'll be with a tax receipt. People have just come in and donated clothes and furniture and foods and things like that to Rideau Bridge to Canada. And there's going to be a golf tournament on September the 9th. And that's where we've done that every year for the different families. And this is where we hope and pray that we can raise the final amount of our funds. Well, not that the word final is ever really possible. Mm-hmm. And it's on September the 9th at the Brockville Golf Club. And Rideau Bridge to Canada is doing this in conjunction with two other Brockville groups who are sponsoring refugee families.
Fantastic. I'm hoping that it's a big success. I know that if you do buy tickets early, you get put into a draw.
Yeah, you get it put into a draw. Now, this is not my forte, but if you win the draw, you can attend the women's golf. What's it called? The women's golf.
The CP Championship.
Yes, and see Brooke Anderson.
Yeah, taking place in Ottawa. So you get to go and see an LPGA Tour event. You can win those tickets if you buy a ticket to their golf tournament coming up September 9th. Pretty exciting stuff, no doubt about it. And honestly, you wonder what your money goes to. It goes to people like Hatra, who we've been listening to tell her story here. I want to know something, Hatra. What have you done since you've been here? I know you've only been here for 2 weeks, but what have you done that has been the most fun for you? Because and we know that you have concerns about your family and so on, but you're in a different place. You're starting a new chapter. What's been the most fun for you?
Well, to be honest and frankly speaking, we are really enjoying, and it has been so nice. We are really, really enjoying the culture, the support, the acceptance of the people, actually. That's the most enjoying moment for us. Actually, this love, this acceptance and support, people, every hour, people coming, offering their support, bringing some bouquets of flower. So this is really very close to our culture that we lived in Afghanistan. And that is most enjoying things for us since we arrived here, which shows that how people accepting us. We don't feel that we are in a new country. We feel really at home, which is most enjoying. And even it is just 2 weeks, but we have been meeting a couple of people in terms of education, in terms of job opportunities. So the group was so active to bring us meet our Afghan families in neighboring villages. So we are enjoying every moment of the time. And most of the time, the whole family went out for bike riding, which is so new for, especially for women from Afghanistan, particularly for myself. So we are enjoying every moment here. And that is out of, again, out of expectation. And that's not really normal for other Afghan refugees when they ended up in any country, even other parts of the Canada. So it is so different here. We are so welcome, warmly welcomed, and receiving lots of love and support. People offering themselves voluntarily, and every moment they are coming, providing their contacts and offering support. Such an amazing.
Let me tell you, if you enjoy the outdoor life, then you've hit the jackpot as far as places to live, because there's just such a wonderful, wonderful system of trails and everything. Even in Miracle, I mean, you have to go down and take a look at the locks and take a look at the, you know, the Rideau Canal, and you have to get French fries in Miracle. That is, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's a law that you have to get French fries when you're in Miracle, because they are absolutely wonderful. I'm so excited for you to have your family coming over, and then to for all of the new things that you're going to get to experience here in Canada. We're so very grateful that you were here to tell your story today, Khatra. I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much for receiving us here. It is such a wonderful people I have met in my life, actually. Thank you so much. I do appreciate each individual community member here. Even the kids, so nicely welcoming us. And we have been in some sort of spaces. We have been brought with some of the community members to the Rideau Bridge and to the river for different sort of fun. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And Wendy, I mean, that must mean the world to hear that being said. And you have to do us a favor and make sure that you update us on this story. I have a feeling that this isn't the last time that I'm going to be speaking to the two of you. And really, we do want to know when the rest of Hathara's family does arrive safe and sound, because I'm sure that there's a lot of people listening right now who now have a vested interest in this. So Wendy, again, thank you so much for sharing your story and all that you do and everything that your organization has done over the years. The Rideau Bridge to Canada has been top notch and a prime example of Canadians being Canadians.
And thanks to the people all around Marrickville and everywhere who chipped in.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for another edition of In Focus. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Bob Perreault. I mean, just an incredible story. If you want to re-listen to it or you missed part of it, don't worry. It's going to be up on our website, Lanark Leads Today, pretty soon. We've been speaking with Wendy Quarry from the Rideau Bridge to Canada and Khatra Saidi, who has joined us in Canada now after quite the trip out of Afghanistan. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.